are listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website www.lmc.org.au.
Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for the great word we heard this morning. And Lord, as we continue to lift up your name, Jesus' name, in our midst with our Jesus' focus, Lord, I pray that we would not only ourselves grow in our understanding, in our appreciation of who you are in our lives, but Lord God, that we would see your word outworked as people are drawn to you. And so, Father, just have your way, moved by your Spirit. Lord God, again, I need your grace, I need your anointing, and so hover over your word tonight, I pray, in Jesus' lovely name. Amen. Can we have the first slide up? Thanks, Josh. That'd be great. Thank you. So, we've had Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus is perfect. Jesus is our righteousness. Jesus is life. Jesus is alive. And this morning we had Jesus is calling. I'd love to say to you, get the podcast, but it'd be like Swiss cheese, I think. Where are you, Dave? It's fantastic. In fact, Dave, I think what we should do is give you the podcast and you can go through and you can sandwich it all together and bring it all together. That'll save Jules having to try and work out what she has to have to say. But it was a fantastic message this morning. How many people enjoyed it? How many people weren't here? Bad luck, because the podcast won't tell you anything, guaranteed. But try and listen to it anyhow. That'll be a fantastic thing. Don't forget our Jesus Is box over there. I want you to go, and Andy said something a couple of weeks ago when he was preaching about having a journal and writing your own Jesus Is thoughts. Fantastic idea. Do that if you're a journaler. And, it really is a fantastic thing. But we'd love to see you putting things up there. And again, make certain they're sensible, because it is Jesus' box. You know that, don't you? And he doesn't want anything unsensible up there. Is that a good word, unsensible? Okay, so tonight, Jesus is our security. Insecurity is in epidemic proportions in our society today. People everywhere are struggling in this social media-driven world, where they are being subliminally told through advertising what they should be like if they're going to be successful. Think about that. Insecurity is being fed by the issues that we face in society today. Things like identity, things like sexuality, things like body image, the comparison trap, power, money, education, peer pressure. There are so many agendas being pushed in our world today. Society is also being fed the lie that our God doesn't exist. You don't need him. Anything that you want to do is okay. And therefore, without knowing it, people are looking to any other small God that they can find to satisfy, to help them in the needs that they have. Yet, it's only by coming to the one and true God, our God, that they're going to be helped. Now, most of us would feel insecure sometimes. But a lot of people feel insecure all the time. The kind of childhood you've had, past traumas, recent experiences, failure, rejection, loneliness, social anxiety, negative beliefs about yourself, perfectionism, having a critical parent or a partner, all contribute to insecurity. And I'm sure we're all familiar with what insecurity looks like, what it feels like. But what's making us feel this way? How do we get free from it? And the starting point is to understand what is insecurity. Dictionary says that insecurity is an uncertainty or an anxiety about oneself or a lack of confidence. I personally think, and I could probably prove this, but I personally think that insecurity is behind most, if not all, of our problems. And you'll see why in a minute. The Bible says that Satan fell because of pride. However, what was the door that opened that pride? I personally think insecurity. He didn't like who he was. He wanted to be somebody else. If only I could be like God, then people would bow down to me too. If Satan had been secure in the creation that God had made him, He wouldn't have needed to become like God or think that he could become like God. He would have just served God and worshipped God and loved God and done what God had created him to do. So what are the fruits of insecurity? And again, I know that some of these might hit a little hard, some of them might hurt a little bit, but remember what I'm trying to do is open up insecurity, because I want you to know that your security is in God. And unless you can see what insecurity looks like, unless you can see what you're feeling has got a root to it, then you're not going to allow God to bring you security. And I'll share my testimony at the end and you'll know why I say all that. So what are some of the fruits? Worrying about everything. Now, that's a lot of people. They worry about everything. They never feel safe or settled. They push people away and then pull them back as if they're schizophrenic. They're constantly asking if others are angry or what have you done wrong. Constantly apologizing even if there's no rest necessary for apology. They have a tendency to sabotage relationships. Things start looking good, they have friends, they build friendship group, and then all of a sudden they're outcasts. They feel like everyone hates them. They worry about what people are saying about them. They don't feel comfortable in a group. They tend to lash out when they get hurt as a defense mechanism. They're always trying to impress. They fear being alone, but then they don't like being in groups. They crave approval, but when it's given, they tend to push it away. They define themselves by what other people think of them. They have a tendency to be perfectionists. Nothing is good enough. They make something, they do something, and then they've got to do it again to get it better, because that's what it's like. They're often very jealous. They often overact to seemingly simple little things. They're defensive. They're often selfish. And often insecurity results in addictive habits. Could be the way you eat, could be smoking, could be drinking, it could be anything to make you feel as though you can escape what you're feeling. Insecurity can lead to you being very judgmental and critical. And then the last one is an interesting one. Insecure people are often compliant. They don't want to say no to anything. They just want to be ever helpful, because in being helpful, they are getting approval. So as I've said, insecurity may have stemmed from personal experiences, whether it's a child or older, from criticism, from comparing yourself with others, from watching TV, or just from the household and the environment you grew up in. Really, insecurity could start from anything, as I know that Satan will use any crack to rob us from walking in the freedom and the victory of God's love. One of the big problems with insecurity is admitting that we have it. Yet, as I said at the start, it's not a new problem. We can track insecurity right back to the Garden of Eden, and you can track it through nearly every man and woman of God all the way through the Bible. Adam and Eve sinned, and when they sinned, when they opened up that door, insecurity entered in. The Bible says that when God came looking for them in the cool of an evening, as was his practice, something had changed. They were hiding from God for the first time ever. Now, we know it was shame, but shame's a fruit. What's the root? They were hiding from God because of insecurity. Insecurity of how God would see them now. Just as much as sin had entered into the world, so had insecurity. And we can follow this pattern throughout the Bible. As I've already said, I believe the root behind Satan's issues that caused him to fall was insecurity. And because I believe that that is now part of his nature, he wants to impose it on all of us. Thankfully, because we have a loving God, we don't have to hide or deny insecurity anymore. God has the answer for us, which is what this message is all about. The good news is we can beat insecurity. We can learn how to be secure. Just as much as we learn anything else, we can learn how to be secure. So let me give you, and I'm doing this very simply, very quickly, because I believe tonight that God wants us to have an opportunity for prayer, an opportunity for just allowing ourselves to sense God's heart tonight. The first thing to understand is you don't have to feel secure to be secure. We base too much weight on how we feel. We are a lot more than our feelings. You don't have to feel secure to be secure. In fact, sometimes it's as we start to walk beyond our feelings and start to walk in the things that God's word says, our feelings start to change. As we're led by the Spirit, the soul starts to take place and change, and feelings are a part of our soul. People everywhere have an identity problem. They don't know who they are in Christ. It's when we know who we are in Christ, when we start to believe what God's word says about us, that we start to see the value that God places in our life. And so our value is in who we are in Christ. Not in money, not in looks, not in how many degrees we have, not in how higher education we got to, not how big our house is, or how better our car is, or how many boats we have, or whatever it might be. Our value is simply, and I say simply because it is simple when you believe it, is simply in how Christ sees you. And then God will do whatever God wants to do. If he wants us to have a big house, he'll give us a big house. If he wants us to get an education, he'll give us an education. But we learn to be content in who we are. I love the fact that Paul said that he'd learnt to be content in his situation, in his circumstances. When we stop competing, when we stop chasing after things to try and make ourselves feel better, that's when we start to win this war. The only thing that gives us value is knowing Christ and having him as our Saviour. We are created by him, and we are loved by him. In God's eyes, we are all as equally valued as the next person. We're not valued by how people treat us or by how people speak to us. I believe it's time that we got rid of the victim mentality and we started to take back what is rightfully ours. And when I say that, unfortunately, and please, I might sound harsh in what I say, but I do believe it. We have allowed the world to label things to the point that we start to act and behave like victims. How many people, as a kid growing up, had somebody say names to them? Hands up. You poor victims. You were bullied at school. No wonder you are like you are today. How many people didn't like the way they looked when they were growing up and wanted to be someone else? Now, we could go on and we could go on and we could go on. So it's time to get rid of the victim mentality. They did that to me. It was their fault. If only I'd been, etc., etc., etc. It's time to forgive. It's time to get over it. It is what it is. That's what you'd say. It is what it is. How many times do you say that to me? It is what it is, Graham. It is what it is. That's true. It is what it is. But then the Bible says that all things are passed away, and behold, all things are new. So Stop allowing yourself to feel like a victim. It happened. Live with it and deal with it, because Christ already has. Jesus said to his disciples, if you're rejected, then wipe the dust off your feet and move on. You know, when we walk around in the mud and we don't get the mud off our boots, it just keeps growing and we get higher and higher, but we also get heavier and heavier with mud. Wipe the dust off your feet. Get rid of the bad experiences. Deal with it. See what Christ has done for you and start to walk in the freedom. Let it go so you can be healed. Let it go so you can be made whole. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. You know, sometimes we quote Scripture, we say Scripture, we know Scripture, but we need revelation knowledge of Scripture. This is one of my revelation knowledge Scriptures. This is one of my Rhema Scriptures. This is one of those Scriptures that God spoke into my heart when I was dealing with my insecurity. Hey, if I've said old things are passed away, then they have. You are a new man in Christ Jesus, a brand new man. The spiritual DNA that God gives us is a DNA to be secure. Our soul, our mind, our will, our emotions might say differently. But who are you going to allow to lead you? Your feelings? What you think? Or are you going to believe what the Bible says? Are you going to receive and accept and walk in the DNA of Jesus in your life? His DNA, His Spirit, His life, because that's what He's placed in us as Christians. Isaiah 54:17 says, no weapon that is formed against me will succeed, and every tongue that rises against you in judgment will you condemn. This peace, righteousness, security, and triumph over opposition is your heritage, is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and this is their vindication from me, says the Lord. Hey, Satan, my heritage right now is security. So nick off. To be secure in your heritage, you have to realize that Jesus Christ defeated Satan. He defeated Satan that we might have the victory, that we might walk in freedom, that we might enjoy life to the full. When you have insecurity, you don't enjoy life to the full. You walk around worrying all the time about what people are saying or doing. You're always trying to cover your backside. We are joint heirs with Christ. And when it says joint heirs, it literally means whatever He has, we have. But we have to take it by faith. We take it by faith. The next thing that we need to do is stop confessing negatives. When you do this, when you confess something that is not in accordance with the Word of God, then what you're really doing is you're agreeing with Satan. You're championing his cause and his lies rather than exposing and lifting up God's truth. If you find yourself confessing negatives, you find yourself saying things that you know pull you down, that you know reinforce how you feel, then it's time to turn the cat around. Stroke it the way that it doesn't rub the fur up. It's time to start speaking what God's Word says. I'm a new creation, a brand new man, being confident of this very thing, that he who hath begun a good work in me will perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. Paul, one thing that I've learned, I put behind me the things that are behind, and I press towards the goals that lie ahead. Wipe the dust off your feet. One of the things that helped me was when I realized that while I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. God loves me so much, and He knew me so much, And even with that, he ransomed me. He adopted me. He made his one of his child. And then Psalm 139, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I'm going to talk a little bit about that one in a minute. The next thing we have to learn to do is to be bold. I'm not saying obnoxious. I'm not saying in face of people. I'm just saying start to walk as God sees you. Look people in the eye when you're talking to them. When you shake somebody's hand, shake it with a little bit of so they hurt. Act as though you love yourself. And, you know, we get turned off by that because, you know, the enemy's been very clever. Oh, he just loves himself. That's not the way it is with God. We love ourselves because Christ loves us and because he's given us value. Another important thing that we need to do if we're going to be secure is to stop hanging around with people that pull us down. It's unfortunate, but often insecure people, because they want to be secure, because they want to be one of the in crowd, start hanging around with people that like picking on them and pulling them down. If they're dragging you down, find a new group of friends. Listen to what Paul says in Philippians, and it's in the message. It's just a beautiful bit of scripture. He says, steer clear of barking dogs, those religious busybodies, all bark and no bite. All they're interested in is appearance. Knife happy circumcisers, I call them. The real believers are the ones of the Spirit of God leads to work away in this ministry, filling the air with Christ's praise as we do it. We couldn't carry this off on our own efforts, and we know it, even though we can list what many might think are impressive credentials. And then Paul goes on to talk about himself. You know my pedigree, a legitimate birth, circumcised on the eighth day, an Israelite from the elite tribe of Benjamin, a strict and devout adherent to God's law, a fiery defender of the purity of my religion, even to the point of persecuting the church, a meticulous observer of everything set down in God's law book. The very credentials these people are waving around as something special. Paul goes on to say, I'm tearing up and throwing out with the trash, along with everything else I used to take credit for. And why? Because of Christ. Yes, all the things I once thought were so important are gone from my life compared to the high privilege of knowing Christ Jesus as my master firsthand. I once thought I had going for me is significant. Now I see it as dog dung. I've dumped it all in the trash so I can embrace Christ and be embraced by him. I didn't want some petty, inferior brand of righteousness that comes from keeping a list of rules when I could get this robust kind that comes from trusting Christ and his righteousness. Isn't that a great scripture? And so let's do what Ephesians 4:22 says. Put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And then put on your new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. In short, put off the old, renew your stinking thinking, and put on the new. Unconditional love and acceptance gives us security. God's unconditional love and acceptance gives us security. How much more acceptance do you need than God putting his seal, his Holy Spirit in you? His own spirit he's placed in us as Christians. What more do we need? So don't go around saying Jesus loves me, but that's a lie. That's not unconditional. That's putting a clause in. God loves me, and that's all I need to know. God loves you. God loves me. So in short, the cure for the insecure is simply this. We must understand our worth and our value are only in Christ. Not how we look, not how much money we have, not how we act, not what our degrees would say, or not how we feel about ourselves. Our worth, our value is in Christ and Christ alone. So let me close by sharing my testimony, a little bit of my testimony. I was bound by insecurity big time, and I mean super big time. Self-rejection was a part of that. That was my biggest issue looking back. And I know I say looking back because I only realized how insecure and how much I rejected myself when I was delivered and set free and when I knew that God loved me. My insecurity started when I was very young. It caused me to start hanging around with the wrong crowd, which led me to do things that back then I shouldn't have been doing. Well, I shouldn't have been doing them now either. Things that probably the world today wouldn't say were too bad. But for me in my Methodist upbringing, they were real bad. And those things led to other things because obviously in doing those things, I started to alienate myself from the people that were doing the right things and I started to get a name for myself. I used to smoke 40 cigarettes a day, much to my father's disgust. I started swearing like you would not believe. In fact, probably two or three words and there'd be a swear word. And they weren't just little swear words. They were big swear words. And that led to many, many other things in my life. I thought a lot about this as I've been doing this sermon because I know what it's like to have Jesus as your security. Could it have been because my twin brother was retarded and mum and dad spent all their time looking after him? Or could it be that my older brother got pneumonia and therefore mum and dad spent time in the hospital for nearly a year with him? Or could it be that I was the middle child and therefore I have the middle child syndrome? Or could it be that I was bullied? I was very, very small when I was at school. In fact, I was so small, and you'll laugh, but it scarred me deeply. I was so small that I never got out of short pants at school. In the school that I went to, you had to be a certain height to wear long pants, and I never got out of short pants. I left school still wearing short pants. Now you're laughing. That's miserable of you. I feel hurt. Dave, would you stop laughing? The first formers, when I was a fourth former, when I was in year 10, would put me in a dustbin and put the lid on it and sit on me and wouldn't let me out all lunch because I was so small. I went to work as an apprentice and they made a box for me to stand on so I could look over the counter to serve the other men. I was so small that they used to shove me up the exhaust pipe to clean it because they didn't have to take all the bolts off because I could get in, no one else could. In a ship engine, that is, yeah. Thanks, Chris. Not in a car engine. You know, I could go on and on and on and give you all the reasons why I think that I was insecure. But looking back in what I know now, it was just a fruit. They were just fruits. They were just excuses. They were just the thing that I allowed to open the door to let Satan come in and rob me of my life. If I was to tell you what was really the real problem was I didn't like myself. I didn't like who I was. And therefore, I was trying to be what I wasn't so that others would like me, so that I'd feel better about myself. My deliverance came, and I can remember the day. I can remember where I was sitting at 331 Maroondah, Ohio. I can remember who was preaching. It wasn't the preaching. It wasn't the church service. It was that I'd been soaking myself in God's word, and I'd been meditating on Psalm 139. And if you read Psalm 139, you'll read how David talks about God knowing everything about him. Where he sits, where he stands. If I go over there, you'll know me. If I go over there, you'll know me. Then it goes into that beautiful little passage that we're being fearfully and wonderfully made, conceived, and God knew us even before we're conceived. Then it says that all our works were written in his book. And it keeps on going all the way through until the very end. And David says, "Search me, O God, and if there be any wicked way in me, let me know." And I thought, man, I couldn't do that to God because I got such a long list of things. And anyhow, why is David doing that? Because he's just said how much God knows him. And as I meditated and thought about that, I realized that that was a relationship that David had with God that I didn't have. And when you become secure in God, you don't mind what people know about you. Because God loves you anyhow. So who cares? Who cares what you guys think of me? God loves me. That's the truth. And so I was amazingly set free. Nobody prayed for me. They just preached and I howled my eyes out. In fact, I did a Narelle, where are you? I did a Narelle in Lion King. Took Narelle to see the Lion King when she was a little girl, and we knew Narelle was crying because you'd hear this every time something happened with the lion. That was like us watching Lassie as a little kid. God set me free, and I have been secure ever since. Do I sometimes feel insecure? I think we all do sometimes. Do I sometimes feel shy? Do I sometimes not like being in groups? Sure. Do I sometimes not want to be on the platform? All the time. But the truth is, if God be for me, who can be against me? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And so tonight, who's going to say, so what? Who's going to say, I don't care what people think anymore? God loves me. Who's going to kick Satan and his lies out and say, you're not robbing me anymore? Who's going to say that I'm comfortable now knowing that God created me as I am and he will make me to be what he wants me to be? You know, somebody once said to me, God's more interested in who you are than what you're going to become. Yet God knows what you're going to become because he's already written it in his book. And as long as we're doing what he wants us to do, we don't have to worry about what anybody else thinks. Abby, can we sing, O Come to the Altar? Tonight, I really do believe that God wants to set people free. But you're only going to be set free if you're prepared to admit that you need to be set free. And so if you know tonight that insecurity has robbed you or is robbing you, then come out the front and let us pray for you. We'd love to do that because Jesus is your security. Jesus is my security.